All right, well, God bless you all for still coming this morning, even though I'm preaching. No, I'm just kidding. I only mean that in a very lighthearted way. Now, we're all here not because of the preacher, of course, but because we're here to praise and worship God and to bless his name. Amen. Hallelujah. And also, too, to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to impart into us those things that God desires for us to learn and to take hold of and to allow to become part of us, so that we can, of course, grow and become a blessing out there in the community. And in the context of what has already occurred this morning, with the wonderful time of worship that we've had, and the wonderful time that, the wonderful blessing that the Holy Spirit has given us through that time of worship and the words that came forward as well, what the Holy Spirit has imparted into my heart to share this morning is about what we bring to worship. How's that? Isn't that wonderful? That we've had such an awesome time of worship and such a special time. I mean, it's always unique, isn't it? We're all unique. God created us all uniquely. But each experience we have with God is never the same. It's always unique. It's always different. God, although God is the same God yesterday and today and forever, the experience we have with him from day to day is not meant to be the same. It's always meant to be changing. It's always meant to be challenging us. It's always meant to enable us opportunities to grow and to become closer with him. So this morning, what's on my heart is to share with you all about worship and more specifically what we bring before God when we approach him to worship. Now, thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been granted freedom of passage straight to the throne room of God. Amen? We don't have to go through ceremonies or anything like that. We don't have to go through another human intercessor to approach God. We have given direct access to God, as though looking down this path, if the throne was right there, I don't have to zigzag. I can go straight to the throne room of God. Jesus Christ has done that for us by dying and being raised from the dead so that we can have that ability or capability through him. We have been given citizenship into the kingdom of God. In fact, more than citizens, 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 20, calls us ambassadors of Christ. And ambassadors are, in a sense, more than just citizens, because citizens don't, when you think of it from a nation point of view, citizens don't necessarily have direct access to the leader of that country. But as an ambassador, you can phone the prime minister, you get the prime minister on the phone and talk to him straight away. We are ambassadors. We have that direct access to God. We'll just read this verse here. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. You know, through Christ, we are his ambassadors to the world. And if we were to take that further, I mean, in essence, we are adopted sons and daughters, aren't we? We're not just ambassadors, we are part of a greater family in God. So, and like all ambassadors, not only do we represent the Christ, but we are able to have that direct access to him. We enjoy this direct access without any ritual requirement. We don't have to go through any rituals to do it. Unlike the Levitical priests of old, who were bound by laws and rituals before they could safely enter the presence of God. You know, if the high priest, for instance, of Israel, back before the time of Christ, needed to go into the innermost parts of the temple where the dwelling place of God was, where the Ark of the Covenant would rest, the presence of God was, he had to go through quite a lot of ritual process before he could enter into that. And if he did not do it correctly, if there was sin in his life, he hadn't been cleansed, then he would enter into a fatal
destiny, in a sense. He would end up being struck down for not entering in purity. And of course, that's all passed away now. That's all part of the past. And through Christ, we can enter into God's presence without having to go through those rituals. Praise God for that. So being adopted into his kingdom, and as children, all of us enjoy unhindered access to the Father. We can enter into the Father's presence anytime, anywhere. We don't have to be in a special place. We don't have to enter a certain frame of mind. We should always constantly be in the presence of the Father. The Holy Spirit dwells in us constantly. And entering into the Father's presence isn't something that that we just do on a Sunday. It's every day. So this is wonderful news for us. Never before, since Adam and Eve, are we able to relate to God so closely, so intimately. However, because of this easy access, we can at times enter the Lord's presence without giving him our best. And this is something I really want to touch on this morning, is are we giving our best to God when we approach him? After all, doesn't God deserve our best in everything that we do for him? Do I have any amens? Does he deserve our best? He does, absolutely. He does deserve our best. Now, when we talk about best, some of us have this perception of perfection, that we have to be perfect. And of course, Christ makes us perfect in the eyes of God. But in the natural, obviously, we're not perfect, are we? But God does not necessarily desire perfection from us. He just basically desires our best. So every time we enter into his presence, he wants the best we can offer to him. And one of the wonderful things about giving our best is that it requires us to stretch ourselves to our highest potential. And of course, in doing that, it provides opportunity for growth. And then, I better not stand there anymore. And because we're growing, our best is pushed forward a bit more. And so every time we give our best, it unleashes better and better potential in what we can provide, what we can bring. And this is in everything. And that's why it's important that in whatever we do our best, because it pushes us a little further. It pushes out that boundary of what we're capable of a little bit more. And then, of course, when we do our best the next time, that boundary is pushed back a little bit more again. So it's important that we do our best. But also, especially in our worship. In fact, let me go as far as to say that if we are not prepared to give our best in worship, then perhaps we are not actually really worshiping him at all. You know? Worshiping is a surrendering. Worshiping is a giving, is a complete and utter giving. It's part of a sacrifice. So if we're not prepared to give our best, then we need to challenge ourselves and examine ourselves, because if we're going to enter into the presence of God and worship him, he really requires our best. And we'll go into some scriptures that really support what I'm saying there. So what I'm suggesting should hopefully challenge how each of us approach our worship, and hopefully encourage each of us to push the boundary of where we previously were prepared to go in worship. Worship should encompass a whole lot of things. Firstly, it's an expression of our love for God. Amen. We worship, we give ourselves in worship because we love him. It is also an act of surrender to his will. And this is really very important. You cannot worship without surrendering, in essence. If we're not prepared to surrender ourselves to him, then where's our worship? It's also a demonstration of how much we honour him. It's a demonstration, it's an expression of how much we honour him. It's an exaltation of who God is. It's an acknowledgement of who God is. We worship him to acknowledge who he is, his splendour, his majesty, his perfection, his power and his authority, and his overwhelming love for all of humanity. And also, too, we worship him because we want to thank him for what he has done in our lives.
We have a gratitude that is within us that we want to express, and we are able to do that through our worship to Him. So encompassing all these things is our attitude towards Him. Our heart needs to be right before God. We need to be repentant, forgiving towards each other, and humble in the presence of our God. So I hope these things are challenging us and really allowing us to think about how we approach worship, that we just don't casually enter into it, that we have a mindset of really giving everything that we have to Him when we approach worship. So all these things point towards what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. And we'll touch on what that statement means, the spirit and in truth. Now, today, as I touched on before, rituals no longer matter. The law is now fulfilled. The place where we worship is no longer relevant. To the Israelites, they all congregated, they all met in Jerusalem and at the temple specifically to worship God. Here Jesus iterates and reiterates, what is important is our attitude, our heart, and our relationship and surrender to Him. If we truly love Him, then all that is required will take care of itself by our default position. If you truly love the Father, if you truly love Jesus, then you don't need to necessarily consciously be following laws. Out of a heart of love, you will naturally be doing things that are pleasing to the Father. And that's where we need to get to. We need to get to a place where we're naturally pleasing the Father, where we're naturally fulfilling what God requires. And it's an attitude of our heart, not a conscious effort to follow certain laws. It's an attitude of our heart. So I'm not speaking here about a physical position or circumstance, but in fact our spiritual position. In love, we will naturally seek out to do what pleases Him. The voice of the Holy Spirit we will be able to hear and listen. To worship Him in spirit and in truth, this is the ultimate we can bring with us as an offering to worship. So we want to do the ultimate, to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And because it requires the ultimate sacrifice we can make, that is our heart, totally sold out for Him, are we prepared to do that today? This is what the Father seeks. So we need to be prepared to do it. We need to be prepared. We need to make a conscious effort to be prepared to give God our heart, to give the Lord our heart. Okay, so back to worship. Amen. Sacrificial worship. Okay, we'll talk about sacrificial worship. And really, when the whole when you think about sacrificial, really it's talking about what price. There's a price to sacrifice, isn't there? You can't sacrifice something that doesn't cost you anything. It's not sacrifice at all. So let's have a look at Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Now, I haven't got the whole scripture there, so you may want to get this one out of your Bible. So that's Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. While you do that, I might have a glass. Okay, now this is the account, very, very a well-known account regarding Cain and Abel. And we'll start from verse 1. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord.
But Abel brought fat portions from some of his firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it."
And this account, although it was right at the beginning of humanity, the dawn of humanity, it still brings some wonderful examples of sacrificial worship even today. So let's have a look. There are two aspects that are clearly can be clearly noticed from this passage. One is the preparation of the sacrifice, and one is the attitude of the person whose sacrifice was not accepted. So we have a look at, firstly, the preparation. Abel, the younger of the two brothers, brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. So in other words, being the firstborn of his flock, they were the best. They were the best of his flock. And he brought the fatty portions, you know, the portions that we all like to sink our teeth into, the best portions. So he was prepared to bring his best to God. On the other hand, you have Cain. He just brought some fruits. Doesn't describe them as being the best of his fruits, just brought some fruits. And in doing so, Cain was not treating God as holy or as reverent. He did not give God the proper respect. He did not give him his best. So what happened afterwards? Okay, they all prepared their sacrifice. They all did their sacrifice. Now Cain, the account clearly says here that God looked upon Abel's sacrifice as with favor because it was his best. He knew that it cost him something, and looked at Cain's sacrifice not with the same favor, or not with favor. And of course, Cain was not very happy about this, was he? He was displeased. He was starting to feel with anger and resentment towards God and later on towards his brother as well. Now, if we have a look at verse 7 in that scripture, which demonstrates God actually encouraging Cain, encouraging him to seek righteousness, to do what is pleasing to God, and next time to basically give his best, be prepared to give his best. Now, God did not condemn Cain. He was encouraging him to say, okay, look, you messed up, but hey, there'll be other opportunities. Do what is right. Do the right thing. Give your best next time. So we can take encouragement in that too, that even though perhaps we may not necessarily do our best at times, God does not condemn us. He gives us opportunities. And he's a God of opportunities, isn't he? And God of second chances. Otherwise, we will have no right to be here, because I'm sure each of us can probably consider times when we've stumbled and perhaps fallen. But by the grace of God, we can still look upon Jesus for forgiveness, and he's always willing to forgive us every time. So even when we fail to give God our best, God will not turn his back on us, but by not making the sacrifice, we may miss out on the blessing that God wants for us. So bringing the sacrifice of worship, bringing the sacrifice of praise, God is always there willing to bless us. Of course, the whole focus of us surrendering ourselves to God in that way is not so that we can be blessed. But God has such a heart and desire to bless us that he can't resist but bless us anyway. And so it's important to allow us to experience those opportunities where God wants to bless us. So the good news is that God is a God of double, triple, quadruple, or as the Bible says in another account, 70 by 7 chances. And when one of the apostles approached Jesus, "How many times shall I forgive my brother?" Jesus said, 70 times 7. times. So that's an example of how God looks at us too. You know, he will forgive us as many times as we need until we get it right. And that's in all parts of our life. But of course, we need to have a hard attitude to want to do the right thing too. We need to have a hard attitude to do our best, to be surrendered, to allow our hearts to be humble towards God. Facing the Giants. Who's watched the movie Facing the Giants, if you can remember it? Yes, we watched it at our home group too, towards the end of last term. There's a wonderful theme that goes, that's sort of peppered along the whole movie. And that theme is that we praise him when we win. And who can tell me the next part? We praise him when we lose. We praise him all the time, don't we? That's really what having the right heart attitude is all about. Praising him all the time. And it's easy for us to praise him when things are going really well, isn't it? Because we know we're feeling good. And, you know, we come into the church, you know, a big smile on our face. And, we praise him and worship him and give him glory. And but it's when things are not going so well, that's when it can get a bit tough. Because the natural position that we find ourselves in is that we're focused on our problems, on our issues, focused on ourselves. And my heart really goes out to people. And I'm so encouraged when people are going through such difficult, traumatic times in their life, but are still putting their focus on God, raising their hands and worshiping him and giving him all the glory. Now, it's such an awesome place, such an awesome heart to be able to do that. And we need to allow ourselves to be encouraged by people who are just so willing just to lay aside those issues that they may have in their life, focus on God, not focus on their own circumstance, and just worship him. I just really want to encourage those of you who are going through times like that just to keep on persevering, keep on pushing through, and keep on putting your focus on him. Because at the end of the day, focusing on your own issues, your own problems, cannot lead to any good. Anyway, focusing on God, there's always God's promise that he will fulfill in your life. Sometimes we need to be patient, and that can always be hard for some of us, for all of us perhaps. But God is always patient with us. So in turn, at times, he asks us also to be patient with him. Old Testament examples. Let's have a look at King David in 2 Samuel, verse 24. Chapter 24, verses 20 to 24. Here, this is another good scripture as well that really describes David's heart and how what sacrificial worship was, how important it was to him as well. And we'll just read there from verse 20. Now, the whole scripture won't come up on the PowerPoint there, so please feel free to open up to your Bibles. Okay, from verse 20. While Araunah was threshing wheat, he turned and saw the angel. His four sons who were with him had hid themselves. Then David approached, and when Araunah looked and saw him, he left the threshing floor and bowed down before David, with his face to the ground. David said to him, "Let me have the site of your threshing floor, so that I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped. Sell it to me at the full price." Araunah said to David, "Take it. Let my lord the king do whatever pleases him. Look, I will give the oxen for the burnt offering, the threshing sledges for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I will give all this." But King David replied to Araunah, "No, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing." So here David knew the importance of approaching God's presence with respect and honor. And again, just reiterating the importance of sacrificial worship. Like Abel before him, he was all too happy to offer his worship at a cost.
For us, although the principles of worship remain the same, the execution is of our preparation and our sacrifice is very different. You know, Jesus altered forever how we are to present ourselves to God. So we don't have to buy anything. We don't have to buy an oxen or buy land and just dedicate it to the Lord. The sort of sacrifice the Lord is looking for is what's in our hearts, to come into his presence with humility, with the right preparation, in the sense that how is our relationship with God? Are we spending that time with him? Are we getting into his word? Are we focused on him? That's the kind of sacrifice God's looking for in our hearts. Now, of course, we also need to be obedient. And also, too, God quite often requires of us to also give physically, to make ourselves available to help around the church or to help our neighbours, to witness to others through the things that we do give, through blessing others. And, of course, in blessing this church with tithes and offerings, they're all very important things as well, and we need to be obedient to that as also. But all of that comes from having the right attitude in our heart. You know, Scripture also says God loves a cheerful giver, doesn't he? There's no point giving if you're not prepared to be cheerful about it, because it's all part and parcel of our whole worship experience, the whole experience that God wants from us in our worship. Completely holistic in our giving, as well as in our heart, in our heart attitude, and also in our worship during times of worship when we get together, whether it be at the home group, whether it be here at church on a Sunday, whether it be in our own time with God. So let's have a look at obedient worship. And obedient worship is really what comes down to today's form of sacrificial worship. It all part and parcel of obedient worship is lifestyle. What's our lifestyle like? Does it honor God? What our values are? Do our values line up with Christ's values, of what he taught, what the Holy Spirit instills in our heart? And also, most importantly, when we tie all those things together, we can't help but please God. And that is what obedient worship just basically culminates in pleasing God. So let's have a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So God requires us to be holy, to be separated out, to follow in the example of Christ, to be his disciple. And that's what God requires of us. He requires no less. He desires so much to be walking in the footsteps that Christ laid out for us to walk. And of course, we're not there doing that alone either, are we? The Holy Spirit is there with us all the time. He instills in our hearts what it is that he desires for us to do. We also have the Word of God that gives us a wonderful a floor plan, a model, a base for which we can step out and do the things that Christ wants us to do. We'll have a look next at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Spiritual, equaling surrendered worship. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is his good pleasure and perfect will. Hallelujah. So he's talking about us offering ourselves as living sacrifices to God. Again, it just points back to our heart attitude and to be prepared to give our best, to have the right attitude to give our best. So spiritual worship is really surrendered worship, sacrificial worship, It's all about what's inside, about getting what's inside right and allowing the Holy Spirit to impart to us what he desires for us to learn and to be able to grow. Also, too, I just want to touch on expression in worship as, just for a moment. King David, there's an account in scriptures in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 14 to 16, where David was so overjoyed. He was praising God because the Ark of the Covenant was returning back to Jerusalem, and he was so pleased because he knew that that this is the proper place for where the Ark should be, and he was his desire, he was so overwhelmed in joy that he just danced and expressed his praise to God through dancing. So David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sounds of trumpets as the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David. Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in his heart. And there's a couple of things I wanted to just touch on regarding that scripture. Firstly, David and his desire to just dance before God. He was so overjoyed that just praising God with words and expressing through words just wasn't enough for him. He just couldn't help himself. He just went out and he just danced before God. And it's important for us to consider perhaps what God has put on our hearts as well regarding expression of our worship. And it's very important. There's many accounts in the scriptures where people express, in expression of worship, would raise their hands, raise their voices towards God. And this morning, obediently, each of us were so willing to do that, and that's wonderful. You know, and these are outward signs of surrender and humility towards God. Also, too, here David is described as wearing a linen ephod. In Israelite culture, the ephod was worn as a garment of spiritual significance and were worn by the Levitical priests. Now, of course, we don't wear ephods today. We don't wear special garments today. But just our praise and our worship and how we express ourselves is, in a sense, like a garment to God, like a garment, a spiritual garment to him. I mean, he looks upon us with love and with a desire to see us and to experience our worship. So it's like that garment, that ephod, when we raise our hands and when we raise our voices to him in worship and express ourselves to him. Now, of course, understandably, for some of us, outwardly expressing our worship can be very difficult. It can be very difficult for some of us to do. But please be encouraged each time we enter into worship, to be prepared to move out of our comfort zone and be open to physical expression. Just be open to it. Don't dismiss it. Whether it be by raising of hands or using a spiritual gift that God has given. You know, God wants us to be joyful, enthusiastic about our worship, to be passionate about our worship. So if you're someone who has a heart to worship God in spirit and in truth, all that can be asked is to be open to it, to allow yourselves to be moved in a way that you're prepared to raise your hands, to raise your voices to him. But most of all, above all things, be obedient to how you sense God is leading you in worship. Just be obedient. Be obedient to him. Also, take care not to judge others expressing themselves in worship. And quite often people hold back because they're afraid of the judge of what others might say, what others might be thinking. Perhaps newcomers coming into the church might cause some of us to just to hold back a little bit because we're just afraid of what they might think. But we're all one big family here. We're all one family, and like a family, we need to be allowed to be able to express
the joy that's in our heart in a way that's constructive and honouring to God. So my encouragement to each of us is to just open yourselves. If you're not used to raising your hands in worship, to raising your voices in worship, to speaking out in tongues, all that can be asked that you just open to it and allow the Holy Spirit just to lead you and just allow your hearts to be filled with the joy of God, the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you may rise up and worship Him in that way and express it. And also too, just to honour the worship team as well every Sunday. You know, from time to time, each music practice that each of the music team go to, Kayleen's always got a devotional that is designed to encourage the music team just to stretch themselves in their worship and to bring aspects of worship that help us to lead during times of worship. And the whole music team, their focus on during practice is to open ourselves to worship and to lead this church into a wonderful times of worship every Sunday to be able to experience God's blessing and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit's blessing. So I'd just like to honour Kayleen and the music team as well. Give them a clap. Because they're not doing it for themselves. They're very faithful in coming every Thursday and opening themselves to what God has for us as a church to lead us into worship and to lead us into wonderful times of worship. And as I said, the focus is completely on worship. And Kayleen comes and she's always got a devotional. She's always reading out of a book that describes experiences in worship and perhaps how God is leading in worship, and also sharing from our heart and experiences also too in conferences and the like that she's gone to and others have gone to that really focus on worship leading. It's not song leading, it's worship leading. And the whole intent is to really bring us as a church into the throne room of God and to allow each of us to be blessed through worship. So finally, as we draw to a close, I just would like to emphasise a number of the points that God has just laid in my heart regarding what I've shared this morning. Firstly, to be in touch with God. You know, be in touch with God. Always have your spiritual radar up. Always allow yourselves to be just filled with the Holy Spirit, continually filled to overflowing. You know, don't give up if things are going tough. Persevere, press in there. So, you know, there are many examples of people in the Bible who have gone through really tough situations and have just persevered through, did not give up on God, did not lay aside and just cast it all aside and just do their own thing. Focus on God, be in touch with Him. And of course, build our relationship with God. You know, don't let your relationship just be what happens on Sunday. Don't let your relationship just be what happens on Tuesday at home groups. Constantly work on our relationship with God. It's a two-way thing. God wants to bless us, absolutely. God wants to impart in us, absolutely. But also, too, He desires for us to willingly make the time, make the effort to build our relationship with Him. So be diligent with that and allow your relationship with God to be strengthened. You know, approach our holy God with holiness, as the Scripture says. You know, God is seeking worshippers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. So approach our holy God with holiness. Approach Him reverently. You know, we can approach Him boldly, but reverently as well, with humility. And you know, we can, like a child can ask their father for things, we can ask our Heavenly Father for things, and He will bless us with all that we need. And He will not withhold anything that we need. But we need to be prepared to approach Him with holiness, to approach Him already with an established relationship with Him. And of course, let's be obedient to Him. Let's be obedient to what the Holy Spirit instills in our heart. Let's be obedient to what Jesus taught as well in terms of worship, in terms of our relationship with Him, in terms of what is expected of our walk with Christ, what our lifestyle expectation is. Let's be obedient to the things that God
that God has for us. And of course, be ready for whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. Let's be ready. One of the other quotes from Facing the Giants was that, be prepared for rain. You know, one of the stories that was shared was that there were two farmers, and both farmers were praying for rain, but one farmer did the work on the ground. He tilled the land. He planted the seed. He was preparing for rain, while the other farmer just prayed for rain. Now, when the rain came, which farmer was blessed? The one that had prepared, isn't he? He's the one. So we need to apply that to our own lives as well. We need to be prepared for rain. We need to, again, it all stems back to our heart attitude, to building that relationship with God, to getting into the Word of God, to doing all the things that Christ has taught us to do, and being obedient to the Holy Spirit. We need to be prepared to rain. If we're going to be ready for blessing, we need to be prepared for blessing. So my encouragement is, again, just to be prepared for rain. Be prepared for the blessing, so that we can take advantage of the full blessing of God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, for your encouragement, for your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you that we can approach your throne room, Lord, with full boldness, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you that you will listen to our prayers, that you will listen to our worship, that we're not worshipping a God that is deaf, dumb, and blind, Lord God. We worship a living God, a true and living God, an almighty God, an all-powerful God, a God who loves unsparingly, a God who just desires to bless us. Lord, we thank you for everything that you are. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.